This week on Space Beers the Podcast, we're trying Bear Republic, Smutty Nose, Marin Brewing, and Hopworks Urban Brewery. May the Schwartz be with you!
Let's crack it.
It's always good when you underestimate the beer.
I am straight Craftus Erectus right now.
Oh, don't drink that beer. That's for the bugs. Here, have this wine.
This is not a science class.
Hello, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast and sometimes in between. I'm your host this week. This is Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada. And joining me is...
Mike from Boston.
And Crazy Dave from Temecula, California.
All right. Back by popular demand, we got Crazy Dave in the house.
Well, I don't know if it's popular demand, but...
So this week, it's all about Space Beers, the podcast.
That's right.
So all of our beers have something to do with... space or the outer limits of our atmosphere.
Or some far-reaching method of space.
Yeah. Where we boldly go where no man has gone before this week on podcast.
Something like that.
Something like that. Anyway, so for our fermentation conversation beer, I will not be trying it, but Mike and Crazy Dave will be trying the Red Rocket Ale from Bear Republic. I think it's their second appearance on the show.
Is it? I was trying to think of who did we do that? We have done the beer before, or something?
No,
someone actually
sorry,
tasted
Bear Republic. This is their second appearance on the show.
Oh, it's the second time you guys done this brewery, but
I was gonna say we haven't done
Red
before.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
we just did the Red 5, right?
How about we get into this beer, guys? Or you get into this beer, I guess.
All right. Sounds good to me.
All right, so this is Bear Republic Brewing Company. They're out of Healdsburg, California. They've been brewing since 1998, I think. Maybe earlier than that. I'm not sure. Their website doesn't really give out that information. So this is the Red Rocket Ale. It's an American Amber / Red, or as they call it, a bastardized Scottish Ale.
Oh, interesting. I haven't quite heard of that style before.
Yeah. Because everybody Dave?
When I think of Red Rocket, you know what I always go back to? That South Park episode with the kids and the dog. Yeah. And I'm really worried about drinking something that has to do with Red Rockets.
Red Rocket! Totally.
I mean, you know, I'll give it a shot.
So that's bearrepublic.com is their website. This is 6.8% ABV with right around the nice range of 67 IBUs. Why don't you guys go ahead and crank it? Interesting note, this has won a few awards or a few medals at the Great American Beer Festival. They got three silvers, one in 98, ooh, one in 99, and one in 2009. Oh, the 2009 one was at the California State Fair.
Well, on the pour, I got a big fat, I guess you guys would call it a Yeti finger of head.
Nice.
Yeah.
The color looks almost like Coke. Is like the color of it.
I got a
like
pinky.
Coca-Cola.
Mine's it's kind of amberish, dark amber. Yeah. I only got a pinky finger. I didn't pour too aggressively, but it's got a nice, rich, kind of thick head on there.
Yeah. It's definitely fluffy head.
On the nose, I'm getting a lot of citrusy hops and some kind of.
Ooh, yeah.
Sugary caramel kind of malts, a little funkiness in there.
No, I don't get the funkiness, but I definitely get the hops and, like you said, like the caramelness and the sweet. It definitely smells sweet. Taking a sip,
yeah. Hoppy, but it's got kind of a little bit of a sweet maltiness to it. I think what else is in here? It's got a nice bitterness at the end.
See, I'm drinking this probably a little bit warmer than it should be. I'm not getting like that. Oh wait, there comes the bitterness. That took a minute. A little bit of a delayed reaction.
Yeah, it kind of sits at the end. Like I thought it was going to dry up and be a little crisper, but that bitterness kind of hangs there at the end.
Yeah, it's almost like a cinnamon nutmeg kind of thing aftertaste.
Yeah, there is a little bit of spicy something in there. It's a little different than that Racer 5 where it's a little cleaner. This has actually got kind of a sweeter, spicier side to it.
Yeah, you get that hop right away, and it that kind of disappears after like a second. And then the bitterness just kind of hangs out for a while.
Yeah, it's almost like a grassy bitterness almost. It kind of sits on your tongue. But there's a lot of citrus, like the citrus in the nose. Mm-hmm. But it tastes kind of grassy on your tongue. Pretty good though. If I was gonna pair this with something, it's hard to not think of barbecue with this type of beer.
How about some cheesy poofs?
No, not cheesy poofs. you know what? I like what Mike's saying with there. I could totally imagine myself drinking this beer with some ribs. Yeah, it was a barbecue.
That's
ribs.
What I was thinking. Like I would like even like a dry rub type rib, where yeah. You know, kind of spicier rib, that would be good with this for sure.
Yeah, not like a big chunk of like meat or nothing, but like just like Mike said, a good you know, solid dry rubbed, you know, smoky rib. I think would go good with this.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the Red Rocket Ale from Bear Republic Brewing. Rate Beer gave this a 98 out of 100. With an A minus from the Beer Advocate users and an A from the Ahlstrom Brothers.
Oh, the Ahlstrom Brothers drank a beer.
Yeah. How about that?
All right. What
I'll drink to that. Hey, let's toast to that.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
For this week's Hop Topics, Crazy Dave, you found something interesting you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I found something on Adage.com. The article is about, does heritage trump origin in beer brands? And basically it talks about, you know, some of these foreign beers like, you know, Foster's or Beck's or Red Stripe, where they're all kind of known for being, you know, from Germany or Australia or from Jamaica. But the reality is that they're brewed, you know, locally and or, you know, domestically here in the U.S. and they're being sold, but they're still being marketed as a, you know, as a foreign beer. And you know, is this something that, you know, are people just being fooled into buying something that really is a domestic beer versus a foreign beer? And just kind of goes back and forth about that. And they were even saying like, where Sam Adams is the Boston Lager, and like, well, it's not really necessarily brewed in, you know, Boston. They say it's brewed in Ohio and Pennsylvania. So even right. Domestically, they're having, you know, those kind of issues.
Yeah, that's the only thing that makes me question. The article is because it you know, the way it words that whole thing about Sam Adams is they're saying, oh, that, you know, that it's brewed in you know, Ohio and Illinois, and that's not the only place it's brewed. So they're trying to make you think like these are the only states that are brewing a Boston lager, and that's not true. I mean, they're also brewing in New York and Boston, so they're still brewing that beer there, and that makes me wonder how much truth is with, you know, with the other beers. Like, okay, they may be expanding, you know, the brewery production in these different spots, but that doesn't mean that it's still not brewed in this particular place. But on the other hand, I don't think Foster's was ever an Australian beer, you know. And right. I went to New Zealand. Nobody, you know, the Australians that I met that were in New Zealand said, Foster's isn't an Australian, you know, that's not an Australian beer. Nobody drinks Foster's around here. So, I don't know, I have a little bit of issue with some of this article.
Yeah, well, I think if you were to ask, like, the general public, like, hey, where's Foster's from? They're going to tell you, oh, it's from Australia.
They're going to Australia,
right.
You know, right. Right, but it's more of like a fooling you with marketing kind of thing.
But then they went on to say, one of the breweries or something said that they checked with their, I don't know, their consumer base or whatever, and they found out that their consumers don't really care where it's brewed or whatever. Like, oh, we're not buying it for the heritage or whatever. We're just buying it because of whatever.
Well, but you know, I think some people originally were, you know, drinking beers that were from foreign places because those beers were considered better. I remember like people saying like, "Oh yeah, it's like, you know, like, even if you go to like a Denny's or something, like they have two different charges. They have like your American draft beers, or you can get an import. You know, it's a domestic or an import thing. The domestic beers are cheaper than the imports." And you know, right.
Those people.
In that case, I have an issue with that too.
Well, yeah. No, but
because you don't want to be paying import prices for a beer that was brewed like next door,
right?
You know,
right. Yeah, but still, it's the same kind of concept where it's like, okay, you know, like this is an import beer because it's a German beer, it's a Jamaican beer, it's, you know, an English beer or whatever, you know, and yeah, they are produced, right, you know, domestically, but still, it's, you know, people think that okay, it's an imported beer, it's got to be better than what the shit they're making here.
Right.
Hmm.
You know, well, that's the whole mindset of the Stellapithecus is he goes for those foreign beers thinking that he's getting a higher quality type of beer just because it's, oh well, it's from Europe.
Isn't
it must
that
be good.
Part of the stages of evolution that we talked about?
Yes, the Stellapithecus.
A few weeks back. What is it?
The Stellapithecus.
I'm not getting Craftus Erectus over this story.
No. As long as they don't put on the bottle brewed in wherever and it's not brewed there, then, I mean, that can be taken as false advertising. Well, you know, like if it says brewed in Munich, Germany, and it's not, it's brewed in Quebec, Canada, then,
well, that's
you know.
The red stripe, it says on the bottle, I'm looking at the picture of the bottle, it says brewed in Jamaica, and then, you know, there's a little, you know, little call out, you know, balloon button here that says it might be the taste of Jamaica, but it's brewed in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's kind of messed up. You know, with Beck's, it says right there, you know, Bremen, Germany. Like, it's right there on the label. I'd have an issue with that. They need to, yeah, I don't know what the law is about that type of thing, but it's kind of messed up. I understand if a brewery is expanding and they're brewing that particular beer, you know, expanding production, that kind of thing. But, then you have to change your labels to kind of accommodate for that, you know?
Well,
you could say
originated in
Jamaica, and then, you know, in small print on the back of the label, say brewed in, you know, Wisconsin, you know, in Illinois and New York or wherever.
My whole thing with the Boston Lager thing, to me, that's just the name of a beer. Yeah. It doesn't matter where it's brewed, because it's like, well, this is the Boston Lager. It's not saying brewed in Boston, you know. It says Boston Beer Company. But then if you look, I'm sure if you look on the bottles, it'll tell you exactly where it's brewed. And sometimes on the bottle, it'll give you like four different locations. You know, it doesn't just say, you know, Jamaica Plains or whatever. It doesn't say Boston. It says, like, I think if you look at the label of the Boston Lager or any of the Sam Adams beers, they'll say, you know, all the different breweries that actual beer is brewed at.
Yeah. Or it might actually come out and say what brewery that particular beer came from. Like, that might only say Ohio or say New York.
You know, like Coca-Cola would do that.
Or whatever.
Like, they do it with sodas. Like, it'll say, like, bottled in Atlanta, bottled in California or something. You know, like, I know some sodas will say that.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you guys this. What do you guys think about, you know, people... Part of the article... Here, I'll just read it to you. It says, Mexican brewed brands like Crown's Corona and Modelo Especial, meanwhile, still think they have a leg up with Hispanic consumers. And they might be right. Origin is still important for new and undocumented immigrants who view beer as a patriotic symbol, said Robert Schmidt, a demographer and graduate faculty member of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, who studies beer trends. Loyalty to the beer is like loyalty to the flag, he said, although it becomes less important the longer the immigrants are here. Like, do you guys feel like any kind of loyalty to any particular, you know, country of beer?
Well, no, I think early on, you know, when Sam Adams came out with that Boston Lager, that there was definitely kind of a pride thing behind that, and it was kind of like, hey, this is a local beer, these guys are getting popular, and it was something that you could kind of be proud of. So I understand that a little bit, but but then what happens when that expands and goes to these different cities and it's not quite I think it's just like anything else. Once it gets too big and they have to start expanding and it's not this little local thing anymore, then, you know, it becomes a different product. And then, you know, do you have that same kind of feeling about it? Well, you know, maybe some people do, maybe some people don't. I don't know.
Well, I've never been, like, I think maybe back in the day I was a huge fan of British beers and Irish beers. You know, that was like, it wasn't the only beers that I would drink, but I would say I was a huge fan of it. And anytime I saw something that was from England or Ireland, I would drink it just because, you know, I'd been there before and I drank in those countries. So I really liked it. You know, I liked those type of beers that came out of there. But I wouldn't say I was never
really
one of those
people to be
like,
did you really just throw a Toby's Ben there in your story there? Did you have to?
I have to do that.
Toby's drinking.
I have to.
Guinness in Ireland and. Oh, wait a minute, can I? You know, speaking of which, I actually when I was in Canada a few months back, I went to a pub there and I found out that they had Caffrey's on tap, which is one of those beers that Toby actually turned me on to way back in the day at the Princess Pub, and it was some beer I guess that he had in Ireland or whatever and. Or England or somewhere. Yeah. He's like, dude, you gotta try this beer. So I tried it. I liked it. Then they stopped importing it. So like we couldn't get it here anymore. And then like all of a sudden I'm in some random pub in freaking Victoria. And sure enough, there it is. I drank it just because it was there. I was like, wow. It's like, they had like 20 different craft beers on tap that were local. But I was like, oh, the Caffrey's. Yeah. I gotta try that. I gotta have that again.
I would have done it too.
And I'll tell you what, it was really freaking good with the, I forgot what it's called, but basically it was French fries with gravy and bacon and all kinds of stuff on it. It was good.
Yeah. Nice. Heart attack.
Heart attack city, but man, talk about a food pairing.
When I went to, all right, let's go. Let's drink some more beer.
No, we'll talk later. I want a Mike Bender story.
No, well, you know, I was talking about, you know, being in New Zealand, and there was this great little brewery called Monteith's that I really liked, and they had a Celtic Red and a Black, and they had a few different offerings, and I really liked them. It was like my favorite, so I would kind of seek them out after a while if I were in different parts of New Zealand, and then, of course, I couldn't find it. You know, I'm on the other side of the planet. And I'm in a Trader Joe's in San Diego, and I saw the Celtic Red, and I just snagged up a six-pack of it. I was like, I can't believe this is here. But it's like one of those things where, yeah, I had it at one place, and I enjoyed it, and now I'm going to, you know, if I see it anywhere else, I'm going to grab it. If I saw it at another pub, I'd get it. And it's the same thing that, you know, Crazy Dave was saying, that, you know, he's at this pub where there's a bunch of, local beers, you know, brewed here, and he's like, oh, shit, they have that. You know, and you grab that because it's like you remember it and you liked it, and it's kind of like that it's not a sense memory because you haven't, you know, but you know what I'm saying, it's more of the whole kind of nostalgia thing,
a little reminiscent, nostalgic. Yeah,
it's probably been 10 years since I've had that beer.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
it's like Kilkenny. If I ever see Kilkenny, I get it.
It feels like 10 years since I've actually drank a beer, so I think we should probably get into some drinking.
Yeah. All right. So go to our Hop Topics section on our website, beercoasterspodcast.com. Click on the Hop Topics link and leave us your thoughts on the story we just covered from adage.com.
Gemini Lounge. A chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
This is a Gravitation Ale from Smutty Nose Brewery out of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Their website is www.smuttynose.com. I messed that up. I guess I didn't write that in there. This is a Belgian quad. The ABV is a 12%.
Dang.
The IBUs I couldn't find anywhere. They use a specialty yeast strain, Belgian yeast strain, of course, and 200 pounds of raisin puree in each batch.
And then they have some
Belgian specialty malts there as well, but I couldn't track those down.
Hey, Mike, does it say what year this is? Because I'm looking at the website, and it's showing that they have an ABV for 2009 at 6.6, and the 2010 is at 12, and then you're saying yours is now at 14?
No, mine's 12, I think.
12, oh.
I have the 2011, and okay. I'm not sure if there's a difference between the 10 and the 11, and 12 is the closest that I could find. Because I know the 2009 was considerably less.
Yeah, it was half.
In the ABV. But I actually have a little tab here that actually has 2011 to 2014. And the little notch is cut out for the 11. So I'm going to crack it. But I'm sure it's no slouch in the ABV department, even if it isn't 12.
Yeah.
Been a while since I've had a quad. It's been a while since I've ridden a quad.
I don't think I've ever ridden a quad.
What?
No.
No.
That's un-American.
Well, I'm not exactly white trash.
Oh, now you just said all white trash ride quads now. That's ridiculous.
You know, I'm trying to offend one of our listener groups here, right?
You try to offend as many as possible each week.
Yeah.
We should. You know, we probably have a hell of a lot more listeners that way. So,
dear beer coasters, you don't offend enough.
Very, very cloudy orange color. I would say even more orange than the apple ciders last week.
Wow.
Very cloudy, very thin but creamy kind of head on there. Almost like just like a fingernail, maybe a Yeti fingernail, because it's kind of a little thicker than a fingernail. On the nose, big bubblegum yeastiness smell.
Yeah.
Which I haven't had that smell in a while. I usually get like the banana. And this is a big old bubblegum and some raisins and some toffee in there too, like an English toffee. I always say English toffee. Like, what do we have? Do we have like German toffee and American toffee? I think this is just toffee, right? I don't think we can.
No, there's something about the English toffee. Just give the English
credit for that anymore.
Now, if it's English toffee, does it have to be made in England?
And are English people going to get upset if their toffee is made in Canada?
Yeah.
I don't think Mexicans are making toffee.
There's a weird kind of herbal thing going on here too. Like a bit medicinal, I guess. Kind of like a mysterious herbal tonic.
Ooh, I gotta mysterious. Take a
sip. I can't smell this no more.
Take a sip, yeah!
Taste those raisins. Lots of dark, fruity flavors. Lots of raisins. Some of that toffee in there. Almost like a raisin jelly.
Wow.
Not that I've ever had a raisin jelly, but if I did, it would probably taste like this without alcohol.
So I gotta ask you, I remember last year I was making some cookies or something. Like, Don't judge me here for a minute, guys. But my girlfriend—no,
we wouldn't do that.
So my girlfriend and I go to her friend's house every year to help make cookies. Like 8 or 10 of us get together, and they each bring their different types of recipes for cookies and stuff. One of the recipes actually—and
they put an apron on you and they braid your hair and stuff too.
No, they don't braid my hair. One of the things that they make though, they actually take a bunch of raisins and I think they mix in like some whiskey or brandy or something into that. And like all I know is that this is like the coolest part of the thing because like I get to play some alcohol and mix up some raisins or whatever. And I remember always, snagging a spoonful of that stuff. And I'm wondering if that's what this might be like.
My grandfather used to take the raisins and he used to soak them in this like some kind of Portuguese like liquor that was just potent as hell. and he'd give you the raisins, and you were never really expecting it how, like, powerful these frickin' raisins were with the alcohol. They soaked up so much of that alcohol, and they were, like, plump, you know, almost the size of grapes again. It was crazy.
Wow.
And it was there so much alcohol that absorbed into that fruit. It was horrible.
You don't like them, huh?
No, I didn't like them.
How old were you when you were eating those?
Oh, geez. I was probably 12.
Hey, it might be time to revisit that, Mike.
Yeah, I should. And maybe, who knows, I might like them now. I'm sure my palate's changed, you know, from macaroni and cheese and PB&J to maybe some more sophisticated foods. This is good. There's some interesting stuff going on, but I was kind of hoping for a little bit more complexity. With all that raisins, I expected the beer maybe to be darker and richer, maybe a little bit more caramely malts or chocolatey malts. But it's a quad, so it's not really supposed to be that way either, so kind of torn. But there's really sweet kind of Belgian candy smells to it that's kind of nice. Not as big as some of the quads I've had before. And this is Smutty Nose. This is their big beer series. I don't think I've mentioned this before, and I've had at least one or two of their Big Bear series beers before. If you get a chance, you might want to check this one out. It's interesting. If I'm gonna pair this with something,
oh Mike, your beer, it's so big. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Okay.
You know, space beers.
It's so big that everything just kind of gravitates towards it, right?
Yeah.
The gravitational pull. For food, this is tough because, you know, the quads are they're such big, sweet beers that, you know, maybe a dessert, something buttery or creamy. I know we tend to pair so many beers with, like, creme brulee or something, but honestly, that would be a really good pairing with a beer like this. So that's what I'm going to go with. Rate Beer rates this 96 out of 100, but only 78 to style. Beer Advocate users rate this a B, and the Allstrom Brothers have weighed in on this beer. They rated it a C.
Whoa.
So there you go.
Two for two.
If you get a chance, this is a Gravitation from a Smutty Nose Brewery.
And now out west, it's time for Crazy Dave to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
All right, we're back. This is Crazy Dave, and I've got the Marin Brewing Company Star Brew. I guess they're out of Larkspur, California, which I just found out is right across the street from San Quentin. So you know, the boys that are locked up are probably smelling the brewery from down the street. And yeah, website's www.marinbrewing.com. And according to the bottle, this is a triple wheat ale, 9.2% alcohol by volume. And
that's a whole lot of wheat.
Yeah. And this bottle is plastered with all kinds of, like, championships and medals and stuff. It's a gold medal winner from the World Beer Championships in 1997, the World Beer Cup gold in 96 and 98, the silver in 02, and the California Fair Gold in 05. So I guess they're pretty proud of this. Now, last time I was on the show, I drank a beer that had signatures on the bottle, and I wasn't too impressed with it. And these guys, again, they put their phone numbers and their email addresses and their signatures on this bottle. So it's going to be interesting to check this one out. So hopefully this one doesn't disappoint me as much as the last one did. So anyhow, I'm gonna open this up. Oh, by the way, it's a 22-ounce bottle that I got here.
And you know that Marin is a sister brewery with Moylan's. It's under the same ownership.
All right. On the pour, this is coming out almost a golden yellow, light honey color. I'm actually using one of my larger wine glasses for this, and I'm getting about a finger ahead. It's pretty opaque. I can't see through it. And, yeah, like I said, it's got a real nice pale honey color to it. The head's nice and frothy. Oh yeah, it smells like bread right off the nose. That's what I'm getting like right away. It's almost like a almost nutty kind of a bread.
Nut bread.
I'm not getting much else off of that. I don't know if the it needs to open up a little bit or something.
Listen to him too. With his wine speak. Let it open up. Let it breathe. We don't talk that way around these parts.
Well, you know what? I'm not really getting much off the smell. I don't know if it's because my nose is plugged up or if it's just there's not much, you know, from the aromas of this. But I'm gonna go ahead and take a sip of this and see what else I can get out of it.
I've done a couple shows with no sense of smell, I believe. Taking a sip,
yeah. This is really different. Like, I have not had a beer ever like this before in my life.
Oh, that says something.
You're going to have to give me a minute here while I try to figure this out. This is almost confusing to me.
Yeah, I mean, I've never heard of a triple wheat, so I'm very curious to know what that style actually would be.
It's
like a super thick Hefeweizen or something, but
I guess no. It's not like a Hef at all. There's none of that funky kind ofness to it all. There's no banana or like that. The mouthfeel is very it's very smooth. It's very coating and it lingers. Like it's almost like this like a satin sheet that's completely covering my entire mouth and tongue.
Well, Dave, did you say that it's wheat wine style?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Chris. He tried a beer from, I think it was Boulevard. They do a wheat wine. Yeah,
wheat wine, yep.
Man, like I said, if I were to drink this without knowing it was a beer, I would not say it was a beer at all.
Wow. Yeah,
that's interesting. It's very interesting, actually.
I mean, you can tell it's carbonated or whatever, but it's such a unique flavor. It's sweet. It's got like right off the bat, it's sweet, and then it flows a little bit into the bitterness. As far as the flavors, I'm having a hard time nailing these down. I can't figure this out. Maybe I'm just inexperienced, or I just suck as a beer taster, or beer coaster, or something. But
you don't suck as a beer coaster. We haven't gotten that type of feedback yet, or that type of backwash.
Yeah. We could do another show. We could do the "Are you experienced?"
Yeah.
Are you experienced?
It's definitely very strong. You can feel the power of this beer as you're drinking it. You know, saying that it's a wheat beer, and you know, it definitely is very, very malty. There's no hops or anything like that in this at all.
Would you pair it with anything? Food wise?
You know what? I finally figured it out. You know what this beer reminds me of? A nice creamy cheese.
Whoa.
You know, honestly, I think a good pungent sharp cheese will go with this, you know.
Yeah.
You know, something like you know, your more spicier cheeses I think would go great with this. Yeah. Huh.
All right.
Yeah, but it's like listen, that the alcohol with you know, the sharpness of some of the spicier cheeses and stuff, I think those would balance well with each other. As far as like a regular food, like, you know, you're not going to sit down with a plate of cheese and drink a beer. I mean, well, maybe you would. I do, but
oh well, yeah.
But
totally.
But like, as far as a regular dinner, I kind of like
me. I'd sit down with a pizza, cheese pizza, maybe.
No. You know, if you were gonna do a pizza, it could not be like your pepperoni and, you know, bell pepper kind of pizza. It'd have to be one of your little 10-inch or 8-inch artisanal pizzas that are, you know, cooked on the wood fired oven and, you know, that kind of deal. You know, maybe have like some sun-dried.
We'll call them craft.
You know what? Actually, probably some like sun-dried tomatoes and maybe jalapenos or something on some pizza with some, you know, with some artisanal cheeses, maybe some basil.
Sweet.
Beer advocates chime in with an A-. The rate beer is a 95 out of 100, and 70 out of 100 to style. And unfortunately, we can't get a trifecta from the brothers this week. They didn't have anything.
Oh man, I thought we were actually gonna get a show where the brothers tried all three.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this.
What was the style, Dave? That rate beer.
I think it was a triple.
Calls it.
I think it was a triple wheat. I mean, here, get ready to.
I know, but did Beer Advocate call it that? Oh, actually, It just says wheat. It's actually under wheat wine. It's classified as a wheat wine.
Wheat wine?
Oh, that's there you interesting. Go.
Yeah, you know, I think wheat wine is a really good explanation of this. I mean, you know, for
yeah, I mean, you mentioned, I mean, you took a sip and were, you said you wouldn't have guessed it would be a beer. So yeah, it definitely sounds wheat winey to me.
And I would throw wheat wine to the beer jargon guy, but I think he already talked about it a long time ago.
Did he?
Yeah, I believe so. We might have to dig into the archives and find that one. So go back and listen to our old shows.
Yeah.
Because we have no idea what episode that's on.
Okay. I mean, yeah, this is the Marin Brewing Star Brew. It's a wheat wine. It's mighty tasty, I think. Yeah, we'll be right back.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada. With happy hours from 3 to 6 p.m. every day. With an additional happy hour from Monday through Friday from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. That's 50% off all appetizers and selective craft beers. Aces and Ales, wide variety of craft beer on draft and bottles. Make sure you stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com to print out your free pint coupon. That's Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, East Side, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okay, for my tasting flight beer this week, I am trying the Galactic. An Imperial Red Ale from Hopworks Urban Brewery, or Hub, out of Portland, Oregon. They've been brewing since 2007. Website is hopworksbeer.com. ABV 9.5% with over 100 IBUs, so it's cray-cray. Can I just tell you guys, even if this beer sucks, I'm going to give it 4 pints just for the label. This is the world's greatest beer label.
That is pretty much one of the coolest beer labels I've ever seen, ever.
Yeah, it's...
So for those of you that can't see, which is probably everyone listening to the podcast, they got Space Invaders on the bottle.
Yeah, it takes up almost the whole bottle.
It's Space Invaders, like all of them. Yeah. It's
and the bottle,
and the bottle's
shooting.
The one doing the shooting. It's that is cool. Talk about your geek beers right there.
Here's the neck. Here's the neck right there.
High score.
They should have made the neck look like the Atari joystick or something.
Nice. So anyway,
and the six pack looks like an old arcade like stand up system.
Now this, okay, their website doesn't give out much information on this beer. Actually, I don't even think you can find the actual beer on their website. You can find some of the swag for this beer. But I guess it was a big deal when it was bottled earlier this year. I think it was in May they bottled this beer, so it was kind of a big deal because I guess there's a lot of people that liked it. But I don't think they bottle it anymore. It's either a seasonal and they just don't talk about it in the off season, or it was a one time thing and whatever. When I was actually in Portland over the summer, I had this on tap there. So that's one of the reasons why I picked up the bottle. And then when I saw the label, I was like, oh, dude, I'm keeping this bottle. Anyway.
Wow.
So it pours a copper in color. I got about a nice finger of head there on the nose. There's a woody, it's like a tree bark with hops. It's like hops and twigs and sticks. Very subtle and very like light aromas. It's not real big, it's not real pungent. Ooh, there's really nice pininess. Oh, I didn't talk about the only ingredients I can get is Centennial and Cascade hops, and it is an official organic beer.
Hippie beer.
Well, I mean, if you go to the brewery, I mean, they're like total, you know, Oh, their big thing is they're 100% renewably powered and cradle to the gate carbon neutral. In the aftertaste, you get that very it's that zing, you know, you get that aftertaste where you can still feel like the hops on your tongue. It has a nice bite to it. And there's a nice sweetness too. There's like this kind of cinnamon cookie sweetness. It doesn't really I guess it is, it does kind of feel imperial. Yeah, I could see that. There's a little bit of alcohol warming going on. Yeah, there's this really nice, almost like a, something reminds me of like a Christmas cookie, you know, like not really peppermint, but there is this.
Oh, like the sugar cookies that you put the little red hots on.
Yeah, but not that much cinnamon. I mean, there's a little bit of like this, it's more of like a brown sugar.
Gingerbread?
Kind of. But it's this pininess. I guess it's the pininess that is making me think of Christmas.
I don't think pininess.
It's pretty good. Yeah, mouthfeel, it's... Yeah, I think this is going to creep up on me. Yeah, very sweet. A little bit syrupy. A little bit of a sticky mouthfeel. But very full, you know, very full... Full-bodied, sticky mouthfeel. Back and forth, sweet, bitter aftertaste. For a food pairing, I would say,
what was the beer style again?
It's an Imperial Red. I was thinking Mexican food for a minute there, like a California burrito or something, or just some like beef tacos, some beef involved, a little bit of spiciness, something greasy, perhaps. I think would work.
Next time you go to the taco shop, look for BIRRIA. It's this red, greasy meat it comes in like a spicy red sauce. It's like, I think it's goat meat. I think it's goat. It's good. But what you were just talking about there, like, yeah, the Mexican thing and then some spiciness, I think that might be something. And I can see, like, how Imperial Reds would do well with that beer. Or with that
beer. Yeah. Right Beer gave this a 92 out of 100 with an A- from the Beer Advocate users. Nothing from the brothers.
Oh.
If you can find this...
Intergalactic, planetary, intergalactic.
Yeah.
Upworks Urban Brewery Galactic.
That's my theme song.
I have an erection.
Whoa. Too much information.
I can see this making somebody a little Craftus Erectus.
Oh no. She's gone from suck to blow.
The Art of Skinner says,
"Dear Space Satan, I did all your bidding, smoked all the poles of the ancients, melted every face. When do the cheap beer headaches go away?"
All right, so we got some cool backwash this week. This comes from Rick in the land of ice and snow.
Rick the Ruler!
So, I'm just going to read the first sentence, and then I'll summarize, and then we're going to talk about this in our Hop Topics next week. But basically, Rick says, "As always, strong work on the podcast episodes. I apologize for the long email, but I have some beer news from the land of ice and snow that you may be able to use for a hop topic, or you can completely disregard it." So he goes on to talk about the whole surly darkness day
so
or whatever.
So if we
whatever,
choose came... to completely disregard it, should we stop now or should we have stopped before we even started?
Well, we're not going to disregard it, so...
Okay.
Not completely.
So, we'll keep going. So you're just going to bring it up now and talk about it next week.
We right. are going to completely summarize so, it and then talk yeah. about it next week.
But it's not a complete disregarding?
Disregardation? That's a beer coaster word.
Damn.
Totally.
All right, beer jargon guy. Anyway. Read that one off.
disregardation. No, so he goes on to talk about the whole thing that happened recently with Surly's Darkness and the whole price hiking that some liquor stores were doing. But we'll really get into this next week, but we wanted to mention it and give Rick a big thanks for sending us. We love the big emails. Don't worry about that. We get huge dissertations from Tom in LA all the time. We love it. So keep them coming. Mm. We'll talk about this next week. But anyways, it has to do with... It has to do with Surly's Darkness. And if you're not familiar with Surly Brewing Company and their whole darkness, and then they have their... Is it the Darkness Day where they have the big festival? Is that the same thing?
Is this like where, is this where that bunch
yeah,
of goth
or
people
or there's
show?
The other one that... what is it? Three Floyds does a big one too, right? It's like the Dark Lord.
Oh, the Dark Lord Day. Never
so
mind. So I'm
getting
those two confused.
Dark Lord yeah. And the...
Wait, are these like...
Yeah,
the,
so this is a lot of dark...
Is this like the goth people that all get together or something? Like the guys with the trench coats and the black like fingernails and all that?
Yeah,
I know. I used to be goth for a minute or two. I know all about it.
I don't. They had like Bats Day at Disneyland. Is that anything like that?
What?
Crickets.
Yeah.
Well, but anyhow.
So
that was a great sound effect there. Crickets.
No, but the gist of this guy's email though is basically that they put a beer out and then the liquor stores turn around and sell for like twice as much, right?
Or three times as
or
much.
Or three times as much. You know what? I know we're gonna talk about this next week, but you know, Stone kind of had something to say about that when they were doing those like that bottle that I got of that coconut macadamia coffee.
Oh yeah. Because you know, you're saying essentially you ended up paying $70.
I paid $70. You know, right, something well, that... but I paid $20 for tickets. Don paid $20 for tickets, and then I paid bought the beer for $25.
You're paying $20 for the option to possibly be able to buy.
Beside all of that, the thing that it all comes down to is that Stone did was they said, if you are caught selling this on eBay for more than what you bought it for, you will be banned from ever buying one of our special releases again. So if I were to turn around to sell this at a higher rate, they basically say, "F you, Dave. We're not giving you the option to buy any one of these releases ever again." You know. So I don't know,
they were saying "F you, Dave" because you were bashing their Belgians anyway. I think Stone was kind of putting a hit out on you.
No, they're not saying "F me." They're saying like, you know, they basically didn't want liquor stores doing exactly what this guy's doing. You know.
Yeah.
And then,
we're supposed to talk about it more next week.
Yeah. See you next week, Crazy Dave.
Damn it. You guys aren't
going
to have
give your own backwash next
yeah,
week
gonna,
on this backwash.
I am going to backwash.
We want your backwash in email form, okay?
Email. No way, that's no
or drunk dialing form. Don't forget or the drunk dialing form.
All right. Well, yes. You know what? I'll finish the beers that I have here, and then maybe I'll call in or something.
Because that is the rarest form.
Thanks to Rick for sending us the backwash. And if you want to send in your email,
the land
backwash,
of the ice
send
and
it,
snow.
Send it to backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com or call the hotline at 339-BACKWASH without the C.
I'm glad you remember that. I never remember that.
All right, everybody. Last call.
Last call.
Okay, here we are. The end of the show. Let's do some pint ratings. Mike, what you got?
Oh, me already. Okay, so for my Bear Republic Red Rocket Ale, it's good. I liked it. I like the hoppiness. It kind of hangs on your tongue at the end of the sip. There's some good kind of caramely maltiness in there, a little sweetness, a little cinnamony goodness. I'm gonna give this one a 4. I like
That's
it.
Right.
It's good and very drinkable. Man, for I'm struggling with my one word description here.
Oh yeah.
Thinking
out of this world.
instead of cinnamon, can I say bitterman?
Bitterman?
Cinnamon works.
Alright.
So bitterman. For the smutty nose gravitation. Interesting. There wasn't as much complexity as I was kind of hoping for in it, but it had some good kind of sweetness and some interesting kind of herbalness in there, and a whole lot of raisins. It's tough to do. I'm going to give it a 3.
All right.
But, I mean, I liked it. It just didn't have kind of the richness and complexity that I think I was used to in a lot of the Belgian quads out there. It had kind of a, you know, with the bubblegum kind of yeastiness and the raisin puree in there. I don't know. It's a tough one.
What did you say before?
We're going to...
Some, like, raisin-soaked alcohol? What was there a name for... alcohol-soaked raisins was
yeah,
your name
I
for that?
Yeah, I wish I could remember the name of that alcohol that was made that was kind of, you know, the raisins would plump in there in the alcohol. But I don't have a name for it. So this one is going to be...
plump.
I'm gonna go with a two-word, one-word thing. I'm going to call it Planet Raisin.
Planet Raisin?
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's them's my pint ratings.
What about you, special guest, Crazy Dave?
Pint ratings for me.
Special guest.
Yeah. Red Rocket Bear Republic. You know, it's. At first, when I thought about this, it was like this is kind of remind me a little bit of a Russian kind of thing, like Bear Republic. You know, I could picture this big, you know, bomber plane with a rocket and. You know, and all this stuff. I'm thinking maybe something rusky, but rusky doesn't.
Big hairy dude
fit.
That washes his balls in ice water.
Pretty much. I'm actually pretty happy with this beer. When I first tried, I'm not a huge red fan, but you know, so I was thinking maybe this might be like a red trolley kind of thing. But the bitterness is nowhere near that at all. It's not bitter. It's not sharp or anything. I like it. It's you know, it's like Mike said, it's got the maltiness in it, that a little bit of sweetness in it, and. It's got a little bit of a spice to it, and it's good. I think I'm gonna come in with this at a maybe a 3.5, almost a 4. As far as one word, I like the rusky kind of thing that I got going on here, so I'm gonna call it rusky.
Rusky.
No, Star Brew. This stuff is actually pretty good. This triple wheat ale. After drinking for a bit, you know it. This is a beer I had to sit back and think for a while. You know, this is definitely a thinking man's beer. Not a, you know, definitely not the college frat boy kind of thing, and not even the beer snob sitting in the beer bar and, you know, discuss like, I don't know, can I taste the different types of hops and the malts and figure out what kind of character this has, and you know, should this be oaked or should it be served on a cask? No, I mean this beer is pretty sophisticated. I mean this is a solid beer that you could drink probably with some high-end food. I mean, earlier I talked a little bit about pairing this with you know, cheese or something, but I can see this beer actually being served like in a gourmet restaurant, you know, which is not something that you can, that I personally would say very often, you know, because me being the wine kind
yeah.
of guy.
Yeah.
You know, this beer definitely comes up to that kind of a level. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff going on.
Wow. Here. From... And, can you believe this? Just in 1 week, we got from Dead Hooker to Decadence right here.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing.
And after drinking
talk about
this
your full spectrum.
Yeah. Changing palettes, one, or changing, what is it? Changing minds one palette at a time?
Well, okay, you've got a pretty crappy beer to a beer that's actually pretty phenomenal. You know, it's night and day what I'm drinking. It's like, you know, I stepped up from, like, you know, the El Cajon Boulevard street hooker to, like, the high-end Heidi Fleiss kind of call girl, all right?
Wow. Impressive.
But, most impressive. I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Definitely not a beer for Bart to be drinking. You know, this is not a Mog kind of a beer. But
what's your rating?
Well, hold on a second. I got one other little thing here. I finally figured out some of the flavors of this beer. You know, I told you before I was really confused by it. I didn't quite get it. But what it was is something I was not expecting at all from beer. And those two things are honey and pineapple.
Okay.
Nice.
You know, so it's kind of like a. Okay.
This beer actually sounds like it almost like a, like some like an old Egyptian recipe or something. You know, with like the honey and the wheat and the, like you're saying the pineapple, just that kind of citrusiness in there with the honey and the wheat just sounds really interesting.
Yeah,
sounds almost like an ancient recipe. You know.
And it gets better the longer it sits here. You know, it's nice and room temperature now, and it's fantastic. But so I'm gonna come in with this at a 5. This beer is great. You know, like I said, it's something that
awesome.
you can drink on your own, on its own, and something that you can pair with some food. And this is a good stuff, man. It's the 5 pinter all the way. If you can find this, I highly recommend picking this up.
Wow, 5 pints,
cool.
I was going to say real quick, if anybody wanted to know what about the wheat wine and if the Beer Jargon guy did talk about it, I believe it was the Wheaties issue. I want to say.
You might be right, sir. That's way back.
Wheaties. Yeah, that was back in May of 2010. So.
Yeah.
Wheaties.
Better drink your Wheaties.
Eat your Wheaties.
All right, sorry, Dave. What's your one word for that 5-pint Marin Star Brew?
I liked the Mike's word, so I'm going to jack that from him, and I'm going to say decadent.
Nice.
Ooh, fancy.
I like it.
Quite fancy.
How
are you, Toby? You drank a couple beers, too.
Well, I had the Hopworks Urban Breweries Galactic tonight, and I enjoyed it.
Oh,
it's good.
Sorry, you only had one on the record beer. Sorry.
Yes, one on the record. This is good. It's definitely, once I got towards the bottom of the bottle, it's definitely imperial. I know I was saying earlier that it didn't feel imperial right away, and it didn't at first. But now I think with the added maltiness. There was a little bit of sediment in the bottom of the bottle. It's definitely imperial. It's not super hoppy, even though, I mean, 100 plus IBUs, and it doesn't really seem like it to me, but that's just me. It doesn't seem like an imperial IPA, so an imperial red to me makes sense, because it does have like that extra kick of maltiness and that carameliness, and I think I was saying stuff about hints of cinnamon and like a cinnamon cookie kind of thing. It's great.
It would be very interesting to me if you actually had the Red Rocket this week, because that's kind of along the lines of kind of an Imperial Red or Imperial Amber.
Yeah.
So it'd be curious to kind of taste the two kind of back to back.
Yeah, I wish I would have been in on that. But yeah, this is great. And not only is the label one of the best labels I've ever seen on a beer bottle, it's a pretty good beer. So it's not just on the outside that's awesome, and the inside is pretty awesome too. So I'm gonna go 4 pints with that one.
Oh.
I dig it. One word, I would say stellar.
Nice. Dang, he even kept true to tonight's theme.
Yeah, it's right to the theme.
Hell yeah.
I didn't know that one word's going to be all themed now.
So yeah, that's our pint ratings for this week. Tune in next week for some more interesting pint ratings and beers, I guess. Don't forget you can follow us on...
The fun never ends.
Is Thanksgiving next week?
Wow, it is.
Yeah.
Wait, is that next... Wow.
It is.
Crap, I gotta go buy a turkey. Wait.
Turkey and beer.
Next week we're going to do a special Thanksgiving Day release show. We're not going to put it out on Friday. Yeah. We're going to put it out on Thanksgiving. So those of you who have time to listen to the podcast on Thanksgiving Day, we hope you join us. Anyway, you can follow us on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, Untappd, and Google Plus. Look for us individually. You can also subscribe to the show in iTunes and also Callisto.fm.
Yeah. And check out our wiggity wiggity website. That's www.beercoasterspodcast.com. One of the coolest things there, besides the show, of course, is the shop link. Merchandising. That's right, where the real money's made. You got Space Beers the t-shirt, Space Beers the hoodie, Space Beers the toilet paper. Click our shop link. Check us out.
Oh, you know what, Toby? You
gotta make the bed sheets.
No, Toby, you gotta make Space... Toby, seriously, why don't you make Space Beer the beer?
That would be awesome. Space Beer?
Beer's the beer.
The beer.
I think Toby just drank it. I mean, dude, it got Space Invaders on its bottle, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Also, we got the Bruce Paper. Check it out. It's Toby's Beer Coasters Daily. It is a daily update and publication of all kinds of cool beer-related news and completely unrelated news and videos and songs and things. So like check that, it out. It's pretty cool.
Toby, you got to put that chimpanzee holding the AK. That'll be a good non-beer-related thing. Well, don't forget to tell your friends and tell your friends' friends to check out this show. I always tell all my friends about it, mainly because I'm on it every once in a while.
Aww.
But and my homies are there too.
Hooking it up.
But yeah, no, you gotta talk it up and share. You know, because craft beer is all about sharing and stuff. So share with.
Yeah, spread the craft beer love.
Sharing is caring.
And support your local brewery, brew pubs, beer bars, etc. Drink local, because why? Locals. Fresh.
That's right.
Fresh.
And don't drink and drive. Because that's just dumb.
And if you do get popped for a deuce, don't forget to call in for backwash with your one and only call from jail.
Yeah. Don't call the bail bondsman. Call the Beer Coasters podcast.
That's right.
Call and we'll make sure to tell everyone how dumb you are.
I drank and drove, and I'm just dumb. A reminder to all our listeners out there, this is your show. We're just drinking in it.
We're just drinking in it.
Cheers!
Cheers.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
What was that? What was that clunk? Like, wow. It sounds like a piece of metal like hitting the ground or something.
Ow.
Shoutouts this week. Thank Rick from the land of the ice and snow.
From the land of ice and snow.
Keep it coming.
Crazy Dave. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, you guys. Crazy Dave. I appreciate you guys letting me come on here and, you know, talk some smack and, you know, kind of learn more about beers. I'm coming along.
Yeah, no dumpster beers and no dead hookers this week.
You got to kind of experience the spectrum between dead hooker and... Dead hooker and decadence. That's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I don't discriminate. You know, like high end hookers or low end hookers. It's all, you know, as long as I'm getting my dick wet, it's all right.
Sweet. All right. Cheers, guys. Well,
that's
thanks
all,
for...
folks.
See you next week. Thanksgiving.
Oh, hey, you guys getting hooked up with some beer for me for Thanksgiving, huh?
Yeah. Thanks for giving us beer.
Here it is, sir. Space Beers, the podcast.
What the hell am I listening to? When does this happen in the podcast?
Now. You're listening to at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're at now, now.
Well, go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
How soon?
Sir!
What?
We've identified their location.
Where?
It's in the galaxy.
Good work. Set a course and prepare for our arrival.
When?
1900 hours, sir.
By high noon tomorrow, they will be our prisoners.